Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
Well, hello and welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. We're back to preview a huge weekend in both football and hurling. Hurling on the way in a little while with Liam Sheedy, but first we're going to chat football ahead of the final weekend of games across the four divisions and so much to play for across all four of them as well. Rory O'Neill has jumped into studio here and Peter Canavan is with us as well. Peter, how are you keeping?
Great. All good, lads. Thanks, Cal.
It's a big weekend, Rory, now across all four of them.
It's fantastic. We were only just speaking before we came on. Normally you would have a little bit more decided by the penultimate weekend, but very, very little is. Bar Down, I think, are promoted, Offaly relegated and Monaghan relegated, but a lot is still up in the air right across all four divisions. So to have that level of uncertainty still facing into the final weekend, all the matches with its simultaneous kick, throw-in times, obviously, And it'll just make for what an absolutely super day's football on Sunday. The only small negative I would probably suggest, but sure, there's nothing you can do about it, is it's a big club day as well in terms of club fixtures. But so I suppose hopefully a few of them get called off and people can sit in and watch the TV all day.
Well, if you look at it, lads, I mean, from a football point of view, particularly maybe it's Division 2, 3 and 4. Mm. This is actually the biggest weekend, Peter, probably for a lot of those counties of the year, not to mind the Championship.
Absolutely. And it's just a shame, you know, as Rory says, they're all on the one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be called a Super Sunday. There's something like 25 or 26 of the teams competing have something to play for going into the final game. So it's a massive day for so many counties, yet all the games, and it's a chance maybe, like, you really want to know what's that's going to be there coming Division 3, Division 4, and of course Division 2 is really competitive. We don't know who's going to make it through. We don't know who's going to be relegated. So it's such a pity they're all on the same, at the same time on Sunday. And if they had been broken up, two divisions covered on Saturday and two divisions covered on Sunday, I think the game could have got a lot more exposure. The bottom divisions could have got much more exposure in terms of time and footage, because I expect there to be a number of brilliant games, really competitive games across all divisions, and a lot of cases it'll be the last couple of kicks of a ball that could well decide the fate of so many of these teams.
Yeah, I remember last year, I think it was Cork actually, Rory, against Cavan. Do you remember that last league game in Breffni Park? And Cavan had a chance towards the end with literally the last kick, and it would have changed things in that division. And we'll get on to Division 2 because it's...
Well, Division 2, like, I did mention this beforehand. I always laugh. Oh, Division 2 is where it's at. Oh, Division 2 now has, you know, that's the real deal. But let's go on and speak about Division 1 for the next 40 minutes and we'll talk about Division 2 for 5 minutes at the end. And I would just like to countenance that by saying Division 2 is not where it's at. That's why it's called Division 2. Division 1 is where it's at because that's where all the best teams are and the best players.
And that's where you want to see Cork next year as well. Well,
you're down playing Cork already, Rory.
What's that, Peter?
You're down playing Cork already.
Listen, they'll have their work cut out now, heading up to you guys on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that'll be tasty. So Division 1, we have lots to play for in Division 1. You mentioned already, Rory, that Monaghan already relegated. They play Donegal this weekend. Mayo, Roscommon, Galway, Dublin and Armagh, Kerry. So just a rundown of the table, which is very tight, really. You've got Donegal and Kerry on 9, Mayo and Roscommon both on 8, Galway, Armagh, Dublin then next, and Monaghan at the bottom with 0. But in terms of that relegation picture, which we might start with, Galway on 6, Armagh on 4 and Dublin on 4. Now, Armagh have the head-to-head on Dublin, which could be significant as well after that game at Croke Park. Armagh play Kerry at the Athletic Grounds. This is set up nicely from Armagh point of view, I would say, in terms of they come in off the back of that win in Croke Park. Kerry, do they want to make a league final or not? What do you think?
I would say they do. I mean, I know there's been some commentary over the last couple of days in relation to managers, you know, sort of humming and hawing about whether or not they're interested in playing in league finals. I think, like, at this stage, they have created a little bit of an extra gap. From a Kerry perspective, they don't really kick any football in anger until potentially a Munster final, which is in Killarney. So they will have a little bit of motivation. The only thing I'd say is I don't see Clifford travelling.
Why?
I'm not too. Would you risk putting David Clifford out against Armagh in a game that you don't really need to win?
Well, could you try something different in terms of Kerry prepping for the championship? If you're saying they're not going to get a game,
he didn't travel to Donegal, and if I was to guess, he'd probably have been told by Jack, look, the big long journeys, we don't really need you for those.
There's also a thing not showing your hand in terms of giving teams an idea of what they might do.
No, they're going to have to be careful, and Peter will obviously be much more interested in this. Obviously, look what happened last year in that All-Ireland quarterfinal is still going to be smarting from an Armagh perspective. Mm. And to be fair to Armagh, they have played reasonably well right throughout the league. Their position potentially a little bit false, but we saw last year, Tyrone relegated with 7. The best Armagh can do now is 6. So they will need to win. Mm. So they'll be coming in not too far off championship fervour here. And if I was Jack O'Connor, I'm saying to myself, well, what's the one thing that could derail us? And that's David Clifford picking up an injury. So I'm not too sure we'll see him.
Okay, Peter, what do you think?
I'll agree and disagree with Rory.
We all do that from time to time,
listen,
don't we?
And that's what we're here for.
I'll agree from the point of view that I'll be surprised if he plays Clifford as well. But I think Kerry will be coming up the road with firm intentions to win the game. Mm. And they will not have any sympathy for Armagh if they're relegated, that's for sure. And Jack is testing players. I went up to Donegal a few weeks ago when they didn't bring David Clifford in. I was at that game in Ballyshannon. And you wouldn't have thought by the attitude or the demeanour of the Kerry players that they were taking the game lightly. They went at it hard. It was a physical game. And Kerry went out to win it. Okay, they didn't have one of their best players or the best player. So I think it could be something similar. Kerry will want to win. There'll be players playing for positions on their team. And they'll know what to expect in Armagh. Like, we all talk about the great atmosphere the athletic grounds are. And there's going to be a packed crowd at that game. Let's make no mistake. It'll be bursting at the seams. And Armagh are under pressure in that they do need to win. They will certainly not want to be relegated from Division One. So they will be hell-bent on winning. And I don't think Kerry will let them down when it comes to a competitive challenge. Yeah. So it's very well set up. And the greater need is with Armagh. And on the basis of that, I think I would expect to see them coming through.
Okay. And then Galway, Dublin in Salt Hill is the other side of the relegation coin, if you like. Dublin, how badly damaged will they be mentally from Croke Park last week, where they're 11 points up at one stage, Rory, and lose the game?
I don't know if it'll do a huge amount. I think, look, one of the things that we've had to get used to in this league and in the championship as well, it isn't peculiar or exclusive. It's just the way the game is played now. There are massive swings. Mm. 8, 9, 10 points, that's not a big lead anymore, and we've seen those whittled away. So I don't know if it'll make a huge amount of difference from a Dublin perspective in terms of damaging them in any big way. Where I would be a little bit more concerned from a Dublin perspective is I hear a lot about, well, when they have this player back or when they have that player back. Like, I'm not too sure if you can still be hanging your hat on guys that have given so much to the Dublin cause over 10, 12 years. And I'd include Conor Callaghan in that. Conor Callaghan is a legend of Gaelic games. What he has contributed to his club in hurling and in football is phenomenal. Phenomenal now, right? But he's human. He has put a lot of miles on that clock, a huge amount. Same with Ciarán Kilkenny. So I think what Ger would probably be looking for, and what he's looked for all through this league, is where the next generation of leaders are coming from. Who are the lads that are going to step up now and put their hands up and say, this is my team now, this is the new Dublin team, and I'm the boy and I'm in charge. Hmm. And I'm not too sure if he's found that many in this league campaign. I know Luke Brannock was certainly one, went off again with what looked like
a nasty enough shoulder injury. Yeah.
And, I suppose one of the big displays of Dublin in recent times was last year in the championship when they went down in that round robin game and beat Galway down in Salt Hill. They'll be looking to draw on a little bit of that this time round again, I'm sure, in that type of spirit. But I don't know. I think Galway might have be in a less forgiving mood this time around.
Okay, and Galway do have a bit of an advantage on the score difference. They're on +5, Armagh +5, and Dublin on -2. Peter, Rory mentioned there, Gerard Brennan, he had a bit of a cut again at some of the senior players after the game the last day at Croke Park. What will that camp be like this week as they look for the results?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised at that because I was questioning, I suppose, where this Dublin team is at a couple of weeks back. But their performance against Roscommon gave a very definitive answer, and their first half against Armagh was as well as a Dublin side has played for a few years. You take into consideration in the second half, and where the players, Luke Brannock got injured, Brian Hurd was sent off, Niall Scully picked up a knock. Those players were all very influential in the first half. So they had their reasons for a weaker second half performance. So no, I would think Dublin, I know Brennan came across as very unhappy maybe after it, but there was a lot of positives to be taken from so much of that game. And it's as for Galway, again, they have to win it. It's a home game. And I think when the gun has been put to their head this year on a few occasions, they've come up with the answers. So I would be expecting a really big performance from them. Serious players at their disposal, if they're all fit. We don't know the extent of a few men that are carrying knocks. But again, it's going to be a close one. And this, again, score difference could be very important going into that, especially if Armagh win. If Armagh win and Dublin win, then I think Dublin need to win by, at least four points.
Yep.
If they're going to overtake Galway and score difference. So look, it's another fascinating encounter.
Yeah, it really is going to be interesting. Again, it comes back to the question, Division 1, Division 2, is it that big a deal if you're relegated? But I'm sure, obviously, you don't want to be relegated. But I mean, it's not the end of the world either, I'd imagine.
I don't think there's a huge amount of difference. And look, I'd love Peter's view on this. I don't really see a massive discrepancy in standard between Team 4 in Division 1 down to Team 4 in Division 2.
Okay.
I think you could throw a blanket over all 8 of those teams. And I think all 8 of them would be capable of beating each other on a given day in championship football. So while relegation in a historical sense might have meant, it would have carried a certain amount of baggage, I'm not too sure if it does as much anymore.
Peter?
I don't know, Peter?
Yeah, I would agree. And if you're suggesting that it's the top 4, no different, then you're not including Tyrone in that there.
Well, I would include Tyrone. So, I would absolutely include Tyrone.
And you're probably right. So I would concur with that 100%. Cork, Meath, Derry, Louth, the quality of footballers they have, the quality of their play at times this year has been superb. So there is, it used to be a few years back, there was a top 4 or 5 maybe, and the rest a good bit weaker. The improvements in Cork, the improvements in Meath, the improvements in Louth, I would be pretty sure that any of those teams could take on the Division 1 teams and make a very good account of themselves. So definitely there's an evening out of so many teams.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the relegation battle in Division 1. Then we've got Mayo Roscommon this weekend, lads. They play each other, or they will probably play each other in Connacht in the semi-final at the end of April.
They are good pals.
I was looking back, actually, there was an FBD game between Roscommon and Mayo and Kiltoum when Andy Moran was playing. And Andy Moran is from Ballyhadreen, which is on the border in Roscommon, actually, I think, but plays his football in Mayo. And he was kissing the Mayo crest after scoring 2 goals off the bench in an FBD match. So I don't think Andy Moran might be minded to take a step back this week. But again, Peter, from a shadow boxing point of view, is there going to be a bit of that this weekend, or do they go out at hammer and tongs, do you think?
Well, it all depends on Roscommon. I think Mayo need a response from last week. They petered out purely against Kerry. They're playing at home. There will be big support there, as there always is in Castlebar. So I think Andy will be very keen that his players give a positive response. As for Roscommon, what a league campaign from them. Not too many were suggesting that they would be making a league final. They're in a very good position now to do that. But are they thinking of the bigger picture? Are they thinking further down the line? And I'm not too sure. I don't know what their attitude has been in training this week. But if they take their eye off the ball, then they're there to be taken out of it. Will they want to keep the momentum going? They've brought in a few of the St. Bridges lads last week, and it can be dangerous if you start tinkering about with the team too much. There's great momentum there. There seems to be a great sense of togetherness in that Roscommon panel. So they might want to keep the ball rolling and take it as a moral victory if they overcome Mayo. But at this stage, for me, Roscommon surely have to be thinking of the bigger picture and further down the line. Do they really want to come up again a Kerry or a Donegal in a National League final? I'm not convinced about that. So with that in mind and a wee bit of uncertainty hanging over them, I'd be putting my money on Mayo to come out on top on that one.
Yeah, I think that's very sound thinking. Like, the last thing Roscommon would need is to go into a league final against the Donegal, let's say. You know, after
But they just beat Donegal.
Yeah, but that's exactly why they probably don't want to meet them all that soon again. Because I'd say in a league final situation, I think you could see a very different Donegal. And let's say you took a bit of a reddening, you know, in a league final, full glare, national stage, etc., just before championship. Now, I don't think they would, because they have been, obviously, as Peter just mentioned, they've been a big surprise, big success story. New manager in, shorn of the Bridges players for most of the league, really. So, like, they deserve a huge amount of credit. But, I don't know, are Galway going for five or six in a row in Connacht?
I think it could be five.
Is it five in a row?
I think it could be five. I think a good season for Mayo and Roscommon is to win the Connacht Championship.
Try and go after the Connacht Championship.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go after the Connacht Championship, maybe the first step from Roscommon's perspective is they're going to have to beat Mayo on the 26th of April. So which one would they really want to win?
Yeah, yeah. But they're playing really well. The second goal that they got the last day when Donegal were coming back at them in the second half, and Donegal had that strong breeze. They worked it brilliantly through the hands down the far sideline, and then Murtha with the hand pass back. And it was just palmed to the net by Conor Hand. Like, they're playing with a lot of confidence. I just wonder, would they try and keep the ball rolling this weekend? It's a great test for them, all the same. And they I think they've only won the league. The last time they won it back in 1979, so it's quite a while ago for them. Are we assuming that Donegal will get the better, Peter, of Monaghan and Clonus on Sunday?
You have to. Yeah. Again, Jim was indicating maybe that he's not too worried about the league. But look, I think they have a gap. They have 2 weeks between the National League final and they play down in the first round of Ulster. So I think that gives them enough time to prepare to focus on that and to bring it. And he has a lot of young lads on his panel. Not necessarily a lot of them starting, but he's a lot of them sitting on the bench. A lot of them have come on to get game time. So I think in terms of their development, I think he would love to be taking the likes of those, the Kiars and Kevin Muldoon and those younger lads down, Shane Malone, down to Croke Park to give them game time and experience down there in a National League final. So from that point of view, I think Donegal will be going to win this game. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it could be Kerry, it could be Mayo, it could be Roscommon in a league final, and they look forward to that. So for me, of the four games in Division 1, I would say with certainty that this one will be a clear victory for Donegal.
Okay, well, let's see how it all pans out. Rory, Division 2, discuss.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's our favourite subject matter. Well, I think there's been, Meath have been the story. That's the starting point. They really have been the story, and they're playing absolutely outstanding football. They're, as we've spoken about it before, they're very exciting to watch. Are they the top team in Leinster? Well, we're going to find out that as well in the Leinster Championship. That certainly is something that we're going to see. They will win this weekend. I can't see, obviously,
they play Offaly.
They're playing Offaly, who are already relegated. And that'll put them on 12 points, and that more or less guarantees them then a place in the league final and promotion, which I think is fully deserved. And sort of commensurate with their status and what they've managed to their performances throughout this year's league campaign. And then it's a case of who follows suit.
Well, let's just run through the fixtures then maybe before you dig into it. So you mentioned Offaly meet Derry, Cavan, Tyrone, Cork, Kildare versus Louth. So Cork sit on 10 points alongside Meath. So if Cork can get something against Tyrone, they'll be back to Division 1. The question is, can they?
I'm not so sure. And look, I'll say this straight out. If Cork win on Sunday, it will be the biggest achievement in Cork football in 10 years. Because that's how long Cork have been out of Division 1. Mm. So it's big. It's a big carrot. It's a big opportunity. It's a big hurdle to jump. But I think the performances, like last weekend even, and I know 1-22 by half time, 8-2 pointers in the first half playing with the wind. But the switch off in the second half, the performance in Derry, they've been so... Like, what's that saying? When you bleed, don't bleed heavy. Mm. Like, Cork have absolutely been pumping blood when things have been going wrong. And I know it's very, very difficult to try and pinpoint why, kickouts, midfield, who's doing what, etc., etc. I think they'll have their work cut out because I do expect a performance from Tyrone. Tyrone needs something ahead of the championship because it's been a very disappointing league campaign from them, from their point of view. And if you were to ask me right now what would potentially happen, I could see Derry winning. I could see Louth winning. I could see Cork being beaten and Derry going into that league final on scoring difference. That's kind of where I would see it now.
Okay. Peter, give us an insight into the Tyrone mindset heading into this weekend off the back of that defeat to me. They're on 5 points. There is a scenario where they could be relegated, but very unlikely.
Yeah, it would take some feet of scoring, I think, for that to happen. Mm. But like Rory's take on Cork, I suppose it can be very good at times, but just a real unpredictable nature. And that has been thrown this league campaign as well. There were times last Saturday night in Croke Park where they looked as if they were going to be blown out of the water, that Meath was going to win that game by about 20 points. And next thing, they win a few kickouts. So there's urgency about their play. They get some great scores. And lo and behold, there's 2 points in the game with 5 or 6 minutes to go. So it's a wee bit of everything from Tyrone. Would it be a massive shock if Cork beat them? Absolutely wouldn't. And if Cork can hit the sort of form that they have played for, and I know Rory is suggesting that it'd be a massive achievement, but if you look back over the last few years, the amount of times that Cork have been able to put it up to Kerry when a lot of teams can't get close to them, Cork always appear to be able to give them a game, but then they're liable to go out and produce a poor performance against lesser opposition. So, and I agree 100%. Throne need to show something here. They're playing at home, and it's about a performance. I don't think the result will mean much. It'll mean more to Cork, obviously, getting promoted. And Cork only need a point here, by the way, to get them through. So, Throne are playing a lot of players in different positions. As you know, Kane has come into goals. And performed very well on Saturday night. Niall Davlin's playing centre-back. Peter Teig is back playing full-back. So there's a lot of players just settling in two positions. Again, the forward line, like I said a number of weeks ago, it's going to be very hard to predict what the starting six is going to be on Sunday. And if you look at Louth or Meath or, you know, the other top teams in Division 2, you know exactly Derry, you know exactly who their players are going to be. So Throne are at that stage where they haven't found themselves yet, and we're running out of time at this stage for players to become accustomed to playing with one another, to gel together. And offensively, it was a decent display against Meath, but certainly defensively, there's a lot of work to be done this week. And we've seen from Cork's scoring exploits that they know how to hurt you when given the opportunity as well.
Yeah. The Armagh match, excuse me, Peter, the Armagh match is only 3 weeks away. Is that right, after Sunday?
That's right. It's a preliminary round of Ulster. So that's what I'm saying. That's why Throne need a good performance here to give them a bit of belief. And you know, they have been struggling, and there's a lot of young lads have come in. It's been difficult for them. Training has been going well by all accounts, and but look, we need to see it on the pitch, and they're only going to get one chance against Cork.
Mm. So what do you think, Peter, in terms of who might get out here? Cork, Meath, both on 10, Louth, Derry on 8. Who's going to be the two teams to go up?
Well, the sneaking suspicion is going to be Derry.
Okay.
And for that to happen, Tyrone need to play well, and I'm expecting that. I'm expecting a big performance from Tyrone, to be honest. And if they can play well and get the victory over Cork, then that opens the door up for Derry, and Tyrone always love to help out Derry in any way.
I was just thinking that. Surely that must be a motivation for Tyrone not to play well on Sunday, Peter, no?
Well, if they've a poor last 5 minutes against Cork, we know what it is.
Well, if that happens and Derry win, then that means Kildare, if they could get something against Louth, if they could get a result in Newbridge and win, they'd stay up. Kildare, having done well last year, they've made progress, I think it's fair to say, under Brian Flanagan, but how big a blow would relegation back down to Division 3 be, do you think, Rory, if it does happen this weekend?
Yeah, I'd say it would be a big blow.
Mm.
And, you know, like, how well would Kildare football be served by going back into Tailteann Cup football again? You know, you won it last year. Like, is that really? But look, you know, I kind of know how it feels being a Cork football supporter. Kildare kind of would have a sort of a mirror image, and that it always seems to be one step forward, two steps back. But yeah, they need a big performance this Sunday. It's a derby game. I don't think they're going to meet each other in Championship. They're on the opposite sides of the draw in Leinster, so you'd expect both of them to go full throttle. And then look, if that they can get to 5 and hope Derry beat Cavan, they'll be safe.
Yeah.
You'd give them a chance, certainly.
Peter, you got a good look at Kildare in that game in Newbridge that we did a couple of weeks ago on TV. It was a poor performance that night, I suppose. Can they respond this weekend?
It was certainly a poor performance, but I was really impressed with the attitude and the physicality of Meath that night and the way they went about their business. If Kildare get relegated, they'll look back on the game that they had in Newbridge with Derry, where they were playing with a gale force breeze in the second half. They had played brilliantly in the first half. They were leading the start of the second half, and they allowed Derry to come back, and Derry snatched a victory that day. And Derry had Conor Glass sent off early days as well. So they came so close to getting a result. If they had got a result that day, I think they would have been safe. So since that, it has been a very disappointing response from Kildare. And they're playing at home, and I think if there's one shock, potential shock in Division 2, it could well be in Newbridge, because Louth would need a lot of things to go their way if they're going to get promoted and other teams to win and score difference and all the rest. So off the top four at the minute, it's very unlikely, even if Louth win, that they will get promoted. So with that in mind, there's a massive prize for Kildare. If they win, they know, they would expect that Derry's going to beat Cavan. So Kildare are fighting for survival here at this stage. And I agree 100%. I have no doubt Brian Flanagan does not want his men playing in Division 3 next year. So there's a big prize there for Kildare. At times this year, they have played really well. But we need a big... Kildare supporters are looking for a big response from them, and I wouldn't rule it out on Sunday.
Okay, one to keep an eye on then. Let's touch on the other two divisions as well, lads, because huge amount riding on some of the games this weekend, not least Rory, Wexford against Westmeath in Division 3,
where really.
The winner is going to go up. Yeah,
it's a fantastic fixture, and a huge now you would have, like, Westmeath, it's in Wexford Park, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so like at least Wexford have home advantage, because they would obviously be, I suppose, given a little bit to Westmeath in terms of experience, and might have that little bit of extra quality as well. But at the same time, like, 7 wins from 7 last year in Division 4. They've already got, like, is it 4-5 wins?
Yeah, Wexford have 4 wins.
Four wins, and potentially a 5th on Sunday. That's some going by John Hagerty, you know? And let's call it for what it is. Not exactly the most glamorous of jobs. So... I think they'll fancy themselves. They'll certainly back themselves. But you would, you know, you would have picked Down and Westmeath to be the two teams to come out of Division 3 from the get-go. I think that'll probably still be the way it'll play out.
Okay, so you think Westmeath might win?
But it's a big challenge for Westmeath as well at the same time.
It is, and Wexford went down to beat Clare in Ennis last weekend. Then at the other end of that division, a couple of teams still in the mix to get relegated. Fermanagh at the bottom, they're already down. But Limerick, Sligo and Laois all in the mix there. The games this weekend, Wexford against Westmeath, as we mentioned, Sligo against Clare, Limerick play Fermanagh and Down go up against Laois. Just a word on Down, Peter. What sort of situation are they in now? They've got the good record in Division 3, but from an Ulster Championship point of view, they played Donegal. Is it too big an ask to expect them to win that game, do you think, at this juncture?
Yeah, for me it is, to be honest, because I think Donegal are right up there with Kerry for contenders for Sam Maguire. So it is a massive ask for them to compete with Donegal. But I wouldn't underestimate the league campaign that Down have had, because at the start of the year, you know, Rory has said everybody was suggesting that Westmeath and Down would go straight up. Westmeath are having difficulty doing that. They have to win against Wexford now on Sunday, whereas Down have sailed through it, and I suppose the learnings from them, you can see the team maturing. And a number of those games going into the last 5-10 minutes, it was tight. There were games that they could have lost, but they're starting to see out. You can see the maturity in their performances. There is quality players there. There's a very good management setup. They know what they're about, and there's a hunger there. So kudos to Conor Laverty and the way that he has brought this group through Division 3. But it's a massive step up from playing Division 3 football to be playing Donegal in Ulster Championship.
Okay.
And look, they have run them close before in Ulster, so certainly Down will not fail them.
Okay. Well, they're 6-6 in Division 3 and they're heading up to Division 2. And then Division 4, lads. I mean, two teams on 8, 2 on 7, 3 on 6. You've got 7 out of the 8 teams still in the mix heading into the final weekend. Antrim play London, Carlow versus Leitrim, Longford against Wicklow, and Tipperary versus Waterford this weekend. Carlow may be the team there. I think we spoke about them, Rory, way back at the start of the season. And we expected them to do well, but they've fallen off
off a little bit in the last few weeks, yeah. And it's so open. It's possibly, you know, like we were joking earlier about Division 2 being where it's at. I mean, the narratives and the stories around this on Sunday will be fantastic. And
this is the biggest game of the year for all of these teams. You'd imagine.
Yeah, it is. Like it's absolutely huge. Yeah. It's huge. And a big shout out, actually, to a local referee there, Bal Brigany in Howley. I think he's doing his first inter-county match, and he's doing Antrim London. So we just want to give Ian the best wishes and good luck. And, you know, it's always good to stay on the right side of referees in Dublin club football, Cahill.
Yeah.
But, Alison, look, like, you know, lot of great stories there again. If you were, I suppose, looking at it from Oisín McConville's point of view, they will probably feel that they're the ones that will, you know, but Longford away is a tough game for them too, you know.
Yeah, and Longford lost to Leitrim last weekend. Peter, take your pick there from all of those teams. I mean, really, you could make the case for any of them, really, to make a breakthrough.
Brilliant league again, and that's why the like of this, you know, should be at a separate time on a Saturday and let people go through them and enjoy the games. It could go absolutely anyway. And there's, 2 points separating 7 teams?
Yeah.
Carlo and Wicklow were, of course, in the driving seat, but you wouldn't be one bit surprised if Leitrim was to beat Carlo. They're capable of it. You wouldn't be surprised that Longford at home would defeat Wicklow. So it's hard to believe with the teams that are there that there's every chance of London beat Antrim. That they are the team that gets promoted. London and Longford could well come out of this very easily. So look, brilliant Division 4 so far, and I don't think it's going to change. There's going to be a few results in there on Sunday that people are going to raise eyebrows out. So again, this is the games that are going to go down to the final seconds, and you'll be looking at results in other games to see what way they're going. The 2-point swing, controversial refereeing decision here and there could well determine who gets promoted and who doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what you want, isn't it, from a league? You're going to need to have a look at the live table as things are going across the weekend for the final round of matches. But for now, lads, thanks a million, Peter. And Rory will be back in just a second to talk hurling with Liam Sheedy. Now, time to talk hurling, and we've got Mikey Stafford in studio with us from the RT Sport team, and Liam Sheedy has joined us as well. Liam, how are you keeping?
Great, Colin, and yourself?
All well, we're all well. Hard to believe, lads, with this stage of the league already. It's rattled on so quickly, and a few bits and pieces to tidy up this weekend before we get into the league final stage. But Liam, from a management point of view now, I mean, are managers thinking about the championship now?
I think managers for the last few matches would have been having one eye in the championship, call, to be honest with you. You know, you can't go into your championship, you know, and in the league scenario without really knowing 12 or 13 of your team. You know, you might have one or two changes, but, you know, I'd say deep down, most managers are fairly clear on those 12 or 13 players that are going to make their championship starts. But again, you know, nothing, I suppose there's a bit of pressure coming. So, you know, there's going to be loads of pressure on in both respective championships. In Leinster and Munster. So isn't it a great chance to put a bit of pressure on and see how they perform under pressure? Because I think, you know, at the early stages of the league, it's probably a little bit less pressure. Whereas when you get to the latter stages now, obviously we've got, you know, winner-take-all games coming at the weekend. And, you know, that there's around the corner in just over 4 weeks, we've got winner-take-all games happening every weekend.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. In terms of 1A, lads, this weekend, in terms of what needs to be settled. So relegation picture, Mikey, is settled after Waterford lost to Tipperary last weekend.
Much to the relief of Kilkenny folk.
Yeah, because it robs us of that potentially tasty match between Tip and Kilkenny this weekend. And then at the other end of the table, Limerick, Cork, Tip and Galway could all reach a league final. So that means Limerick-Galway essentially this weekend is a league semi-final, would you say?
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, when you're presuming that Cork get a win against Offaly, who are already relegated. And worth mentioning, the County of Offaly would desperately like to win an Allianz League game, seeing as I think they're winless in both codes. So there might be an extra incentive there. But yeah, you're basically looking at Limerick versus Galway being a league semi-final. And I was just thinking about it. If Limerick lose, their next competitive match is against Cork. If Limerick win, their next two competitive matches are against Cork. And good it gets point. Me thinking how Ben O'Connor doesn't look like a guy who likes to lose a game of snakes and ladders, never mind an Allianz Hurling League match against Limerick, against Galway. But I'm John Kiely doesn't like losing matches. Neither does Ben O'Connor. Ben O'Connor's just in our heads, media's heads. He's not here now, is he? But John Kiely, he's won three leagues in his time, you know, so that suggests he likes winning the league, but I wouldn't say he puts his full focus on it. And I'm just wondering how much he really wants to play Cork in his next two competitive matches. I'm struggling to see an upside, outside of winning a league title,
yeah,
which is definitely not the be-all and end-all, and not for John Kiely where he's currently.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, do Munster teams meet too often, I suppose, is one way of looking at it. You know, Division 1A is a de facto Munster championship now, with next year probably Dublin, Galway and Kilkenny in there for good measure. They're playing a lot, and you would wonder whether will John Kiely pull a Jim McGuinness.
What do you think, Liam?
I don't know. I guess the thing is he's not out in the first round, so he doesn't have a game on the 19th of April. So, you know, it's a bigger consequence that he would be 5 weeks without a competitive game. I think that's a long time, and he'd be going in cold after, because he's going to meet Cork, who will have had, you know, a championship pitch game against Tip up in Turles. So I think for John Kiely, you know, I think he'll be keen to win. I think obviously Galway are on a bit of a run. I think he's an opportunity maybe to knock Galway back a step or two. So I would think that if he was out in the first round, I could see where that might come from if Limerick and Cork were meeting in the first round of the championship. But the fact that there's a week break, I think having a league final 3 weeks before you get into round one of the Munster Championship for John Kiely would be ideal preparation.
Personally. Do you think the way, like, Ben, I just do wonder whether there's the amount of times that they meet is just, you could tell as best as a manager, it's just you've only got so many ways to skin a cat. You've got so many kind of game plans you can have, and is there a risk that, you know, showing your hand to one of your chief rivals, you know, a few weeks before you played him in the match, that really matters, let's be honest, the league final versus your opening game in the Munster Championship. You know, is there a danger there that, or am I overthinking it?
Well, it's the same danger for both sides. Mm. You know, Cork will learn as much about Limerick as Limerick will learn about Cork. So, you know, I think they've met so often now, you know, there hasn't been much holding back. No. It's been fairly cut and thrust. So I just think that, you know, I think avoiding a final on the back of meeting an opponent you might meet later on, I'm not so sure. You know, I think ultimately, with any Cork and Limerick game that's gone before, the best team, the team that performed best in the day won. In the main. So I think that's how they will view it. I think, you know, John Kiely would look forward to getting, his record in provincial titles and national titles, are up there. I think it's 13 not out. So, you know, he's falling to date, has been at semi-final stage. So I'd say he'll be mad keen to get into a final. And as I said, I think that 3-week cushion, you know, it's probably more dangerous for Ben, because he's got to, irrespective of what happens in the league final, he's got to be ready for a trip to Turles 2 weeks later. So, you know, 14 days versus 21 is a big difference.
I remember, like, say, the height of your Tipperary team and your rivalry with Kilkenny. I remember there were league finals there which were just... They're the league finals that stick out in my head, because they were, you know, they were battles that was laying down a marker, you know, before you, against a team that you knew you weren't going to be playing again until August or September at that time. And, like, they were more than league finals, if you know what I mean. It felt like at the time. And you just... I think we like... We definitely like the championship structure we've landed on. But with the league in such close proximity, I just really think there is a risk of, you know, the top three or four teams in the country who happen to be in Munster, you know, you could argue the toss, they're just playing each other a little bit too often.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that point, but, you know, to think that any manager would shy away from meeting somebody because he might meet them again, I just don't see that. I don't see that in John Kiely's locker, and I definitely don't see it in Ben O'Connor's locker either. So I think both of them would like to win the weekend, would like to go forward into a league final, and they'll deal with that as the league, and then they'll move into championship mode from there.
Mm. Okay. From a Galway point of view, Liam, this is surely a game that they're going to attack, is it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think we've seen, you know, Michal has said he stalled out. You know, I thought his performance against Tip in round one was very, very good, even though they got nothing from the game. Likewise against Cork, left a lot of chances after them in the first 20 minutes. They could have had a lot of daylight between themselves and Cork. And then they were on the back foot a little bit in that second half. But I think overall, the way he's bounced back and won the three in the bounce, I suppose, you know, the way he dealt with Kilkenny the last day, 18-point win and 35 points on the board, very, very impressive. He's got a lovely blend of youth and experience. I think, you know, Cathal Mannion has maintained the form that he had last year, and he's got some young guys coming in. I've just been really impressed with their style of play. You know, I suppose I've watched Galway for a number of years, you know, maybe not having really a real purpose to how they set up or how they play. I love the way they're coming off the shoulder. I love the way they're taking on the man. I love the way that they're pushing in ball in front of their inside line. And even the last day, you know, Kilkenny, when they were pushing in the ball into their inside line, it was down to Galway men all the time. So I think they're well set up. They're well structured. They're probably the most improved team from last year to this year. But they'll get a stern test of exactly where they are in terms of improvement next Saturday evening.
Well, the question is, where has that improvement taken them, do you think, in terms of the pecking order right now, Liam?
Well, I think at the start of the season, you know, would anybody have thought that Galway, you know, the view might have been, you know, that Kilkenny obviously have been the kingpins. You know, Dublin are gotten to an All-Ireland semi-final. Maybe they're pushing hard. But I'd say if you asked a lot of people now, I think they'd say that, look, Galway look like a team that could really win the Bob O'Keefe Cup in 2026. That would be a huge step forward for that group it would be massive for the confidence. And I know that's a long ways away, but I think they've positioned themselves as realistic Leinster contenders in 2026, probably to a level that we haven't seen before. But again, their credentials will be probably really tested in just over 4 weeks when Kilkenny come back to Salt Hill.
Yeah, the Leinster Championship, Mike, is shaping up to be competitive.
Yeah, well, as I said last time we were here talking about hurling, my fear is the Leinster Championship will be very competitive, but the teams that come out of the Leinster Championship will not be very competitive is the problem. But if you look at the Leinster Championship in isolation, yeah, absolutely. Like Galway, as Liam says, like I watched Galway up close in the Leinster Championship against Wexford the last couple of years and in other matches. And just, you were bewildered at how they didn't, the team did not add up to the sum of its parts whatsoever. There was maybe it was a little bit kind of a team coming to the end and like the young talent hadn't quite come through, but there was confusion. There was like not making the best of the talent that they have, but now they look like a team that could put it up to the best of Munster at the moment. And to say that about any Leinster team is great. Kilkenny were, it pains me to say it as a Wexford, we may be writing the obituaries of Kilkenny a bit early. I don't think the Kilkenny of 2 weeks ago in Salt Hill is going to be the Kilkenny of the summer. Obviously not, but at the same time, they're no longer shoo-ins to collect whatever it is, their 7th or 8th or 24th Bob O'Keefe in a row. But and then Dublin, operating admittedly at a level below, have looked really good. They've looked really good. They are a very, very, very strong physical side. They have fantastic forwards and they have a real spirit about them. And they look, I don't think either Galway or Kilkenny will be, they've been watching them from afar in a different division. Don't they be looking forward to play against them? And Wexford are, you know, Wexford will fancy their chances in a one-off game against most teams. Even now, they're probably, I would say Wexford's spring has probably been better than they, or at least some of us thought it was going to be. I know they haven't got promoted, but there was, they arguably should have beaten Dublin and then they would have been promoted. They didn't do great against Clare the last day, but I think sometimes coming up against a team that's obviously weakened on purpose can be a bit difficult. Had chances to win that game even still. And then I think everybody's looking forward to seeing how Kildare get on. You know, they're the new darlings of Leinster hurling.
Well, we discussed that last week and some expectation that they might pull a result, Kildare and Leinster, later this year. Let's talk about Kilkenny then, Liam, because you mentioned their defeat to Galway and Derek Ling was very upfront about how poor his team played. What will training have looked like for Kilkenny, do you think, over the last few weeks?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how they I think they can go all out. I mean, I think they have a chance to, they have a free shot, you know, which could have been a pressure cooker of a relegation match, which is gone now. So they're coming to tip. If the blue and gold jersey can't resurrect a spirit in the group, because, you know, I would have felt up to the Galway game that actually, you know, their honesty of effort and application was as strong as ever. But obviously the Galway game painted a different picture. But I suppose if you look back at the Coley, you have to say that their average in the first five games is 30, the score is 30 points off the likes of Limerick, Tip, Cork and Galway. So they're simply not scoring enough. 65% of their scores have come from three players, Keane Kenny, Owen Cody and Martin Keown. So they're struggling to get that consistent array of scores across the board. But I think, you know, at training this week, if you don't know going up to Thurles, you're playing a team outside your province, a team that have been, you know, great rivals over the last two decades. And if you can't go up and have a shot to see what they can have, because I think they'll need something coming out of Thurles to get them building for what is the Leinster Championship. And ultimately, that's to be all and end all for them. So, you know, typical Kenny matches generally don't disappoint. And, you know, Tip still have an outside chance maybe of league finals. So there's a bit to play out here. And it'll be interesting to see how that match is approached.
Yeah, Tip going in on 6 points. Were you impressed with Tipperary in Walsh Park last weekend, Liam?
Walsh Park, I was. I thought they were good. I suppose, like, you know, like Liam and Mikey and the management team, I suppose when you see Darren McCarthy and Sam O'Farrell and the levels that they got to last year and the under-20s and to see Stephen Tobin coming in.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. 4 points from play.
Yeah, and like he looked like a guy that just wasn't fazed at all being in the team or putting on the jersey, which I think is a great sign to the young fella. So John McGrath looked to have every bit of his old sparkle was still alight. And, you know, I suppose it was the first time that, you know, Liam had a chance to play Mikey Breen, Ronan Maher and Robert Dyle as the inside backline. And I think that just gives Tips a different platform and gives a massive stability in there. So, I think Liam Cahill will be delighted. He's starting to get his championship team back in the pitch. And I think he's playing a team outside of his province, a team that has been great rivals over the last while, as we said. And I think he'll go all out, because this is a great chance, just over 4 weeks out from Cork coming to Thurles, to really lay down your stall.
It shows you how, you know, the kind of pedigree you're coming in with from the year before can really shape a lot of how you feel. Because like Kilkenny and Tipperary on the face of it, their leagues haven't been that different. You know, neither relegated. Tipperary do have a shot at a league final, but it's probably an outside chance. But Tipperary, they're sitting pretty. They're All-Ireland champions. They bedded in a few players. You know, the lads from last year have got another few miles under the clock. You know, like you say, the likes of Tobin coming in, and then the likes of John McGrath had a bit of a break and he comes back. You know, Kilkenny have been resting proven championship players as well, but people are like, why aren't they playing? Why aren't they playing? You know, or they're getting players back from injury. And it's just the mood music is completely different because obviously Tipperary, the All-Ireland champions, and Kilkenny is saying here the last day, just like the pressure on them is mounting because, you know, they've never had, you know, kind of a drought like this, and, you know, performances seem to be going backwards, and it's just very interesting to see that. And I do think Kilkenny would want something out of this game. They have a big opener in the Leinster Championship, and at the moment, as I said, just the mood music, like you can see the fans, like there's just not the same bulletproof confidence there has been, so nothing would actually do a better job for them than to a win in Thurles.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have to improve their scoring efficiency, though. I mean, you know, they're averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah.
Simply not enough. And as I said, they've only got 4 goals in their 5 games to date. And like Kilkenny were always a team associated with an ability to get green flags. So, you know, I think there's a lot to build on. There's a lot to go for. But I do think they need to start bringing something because you can't just turn on a tap as you transform the team from league to championship. That's not possible. So his team selection, his level of energy, you know, I give every team a pass. I give them a pass for what happened in Salt Hill. I think there's no team that hasn't had a game in the league where it's just been very, very poor because you're getting the balance between championship preparation and league performances. But I think they'll need to come out of Thurles less about the score, I think, or if they were to lose, but more about the performance and building some real blocks that they can go and layer up on in the following 4 weeks.
TJ Reid, when are we going to see him?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's kind of like Banco's ghost. He's just not being mentioned. It's not.
Yeah. How big a lift would that be, Liam, do you think, TJ Reid coming back?
So he has a lot of where they're probably lacking. You know, look, I think with himself and Adrian Mullen, you just have a different dynamic in that forward line. I think they're two big players for them. But again, we can't underestimate the losses of Billy Ryan and Hugh Lawler. Mikey Carey got injured the last day. You know, will he be okay? If he's not at three, who's at three? So there's more questions and they need to find some answers in the next few weeks. But I think it starts on Saturday night for him.
Yeah, should be a good game, that one in Thurles. Cork, awfully, Mikey, are we expecting Cork do the job there?
You'd have to think so. Just their embarrassment of riches, you know, it's probably a chance to kind of run the squad a little bit more against a team who have nothing to play for other than pride. It's hard to argue against a Cork win, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it looks like there. So that would mean that Cork would be in the league final and they'd have that to look forward to. And then, as we mentioned, the Limerick-Galway game looks like a league semi-final for all intents and purposes this weekend. 1B, pretty clear cut as well, Liam, at the top. I mean, Dublin have a huge scoring advantage over Wexford. I think it's 49 points is the margin. Dublin play Carlow this week. We've already touched on them in terms of what they've shown in this league. Is this what Niall O'Callaghan would have wanted from the league, coming into the league off the back of that championship campaign last year? It's kind of built on that momentum again. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, they had a really good performance the first day against Clare and Ennis. So, you know, I thought that was really good away from home. And they fought really hard to get a point against Wexford. So they put themselves now in the position where it's in their own hands. I think that's all they would have hoped for. I'd say when he seen Clare's team sheet for the last day, he was probably saying, oh, I could be in trouble here because, you know, but obviously Clare are just really competitive in terms of trying to get their place on the panel around the 26. So that worked out for them. So I don't think he'd miss the opportunity. I think he'd love nothing better than a league final against Clare, against top class opposition. I think to suit both teams to get that competitive game. And I've watched Carlow against Antrim and I've watched Carlow against Kildare. And I think they're a bit behind the curve. You know, Pat Bennett does feel that he's probably working off a limited pool. It's difficult at the teams that are at that level to try and go week after week. And I think Carlow look like a team that are just struggling at the moment. They don't seem fully tuned or fully at the pace of where maybe the likes of the Clares or the Dublins or the Wexfords are at. So yeah, it's hard to see anything other than a Dublin victory, and as a result of that, a Dublin Clare won't be final.
Yeah, and it, like, in fairness, Carlo, their senior championship consists of six clubs. Like, it's you know, that's not an easy job. And like, when Mount Leinster Rangers or St Mullins are riding high, you know, you've got something. But like, you're very, like, when you're reliant on that small a number of clubs. But it's interesting to look at the you know, Division 1A, Division 1B, like, it's basically Division 1 and Division 2. They just don't want to call 1B Division 2 to hurt the feelings of Wexford and Clare in Dublin, I think. But like, it shows you that there isn't really a suitable way of dividing up the top two divisions, because you've got, what have you got? You've got Clare on 12 points, and then Dublin, Wexford on 7, and Kildare on 6, all in the running. And beneath them then, Antrim and Carlow on 2 points, and Down on no points. Mm. And it just, like, it's a two-tier division, and you can argue, is it doing either group of teams any favours to have games which are either uncompetitive, you know, facile for you, or, you know, just a step up? But the caveat there is that two of those teams, Down and Antrim, should have beaten Wexford.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say, you got there first. But and they will say that they probably would need those games to get up to a level to be able to compete at that level.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah. So. The fact of the matter is, there are probably, you would suggest, there are 9 to 10 kind of top tier hurling teams, and it's how you can't have a 10-team league. It's not going to work. So it's just how you. There's no perfect way to do it, and I don't think blending them is great either. So
they've tried. They've tried a few different things.
I think they've tried everything at this point.
Yeah, they have. The other games then in 1B this weekend, Down against Antrim. So it looks like as the weekend starts, anyway, as you say, Mikey, Antrim on 2, Carlo on 2, Down on 0 at the bottom of the table. But Antrim did beat Carlo earlier on in the league, so they do have the head-to-head, and they have a marginally better scoring difference as well. Wexford Kildare, they play each other in the first round, Liam, of the Leinster Championship. That game's in Newbridge. This weekend in Wexford Park. Will there be a bit of a shadow boxing going on there? Like, Kildare are going to approach the championship, you'd imagine, regardless of how this weekend goes, with a lot of confidence.
They are, yeah. You know, you'd have to give Brian Dowling great credit, and the group themselves great credit, because probably starting out, you would have had them down as, you know, they could be potential relegation candidates. And I think that's the beauty of it. Like, they've really benefited from going in and playing the better teams. I think they've made great strides. As I said, I watched their Antrim game and their Carlo game, and I just like them, the way they're playing. I like the way they're chasing. I think they have a really good fitness level, which means that when they don't have the ball, they're able to work really, really hard to get it back. So they are a team that are definitely progressing in the right direction. And look, they'll learn a nice bit about themselves, and they'll learn a nice bit about their opponents come the weekend. But yeah, you know, I think everybody will need to be wary of Kildare in the championship, because you might have been thinking that, you know, these guys will be heading back down to where they came from. But I certainly wouldn't say that at this stage. I think they'll approach every game. I think they're well-drilled. They have a nice style of play. They're very fit. And they work very hard. And when you have those attributes, it gives you a chance.
Mikey?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people think I'm joking. Wexford's 1B status is assured. So I'm kind of, you know, I can be relaxed enough about this one. You could say Wexford that Keith Rotheter could kind of rotate his squad a little bit. But I don't know how much squad there is to rotate. Like, you know, maybe there's a chance that a couple of the injured players will get a chance to get a few minutes under their belt. But other than that, I think for both counties, it's a case of kind of momentum. You know, Wexford, Liam's talking about Kilkenny's reliance on three players. Wexford have a similar problem, where they're relying on Lee Chin, Simon Roach, and to an extent Conor Hearn from midfield for scores, or for kind of those match-winning moments. And I think the defence is betting in, I suppose, is the polite way of putting it. So I think both teams will be very happy for a win. There'll be no shadow boxing here. This is a case of, if you can beat them now, you can beat them again in 3 weeks. Happy days.
Okay.
I think it'll be both managers are looking at it.
Okay. And then the Ulster Derby, Down against Antrim. Antrim have had a difficult enough spring so far, Liam, but if they can pull a result this weekend, they'll approach the summer in a bit better form, you'd imagine. Can they do it against Down?
Yeah, well, I think both teams will, you know, it's at the stage now where you're looking to have, you know, momentum is key. And you can build momentum coming out of the league, heading into the championship. So for Davy and for Antrim, you know, I think they got a real momentum blow when they lost in the last minute down in Wexford. And I think they've probably struggled a lot in the league since. So, you know, they've got questions to answer. You know, but they would have been starting out as one of the favourites at the Joe McDonagh without question. So, you know, I think going to Down will be a tricky assignment. So you get a real sense of where the group is at, I think, in this visit, because, you know, whether you like it, like it's an Ulster derby, and you know, Down would like to see themselves, you know, up with Antrim, taking on Antrim, matching Antrim, you know, going toe to toe with Antrim. So I think that Ronan Sheehan would be really keen to say, look, we have a free shot here. Let's make sure when they come into our grounds here that we give them a stern test. And I'd expect a fair battle, because I think competitively and where they're located, I think they'll be all anxious for bragging rights at the last game
And
of the league.
it's like Wexford and Kildare, these two meet in the first round of the Joe McDonagh as well. So it's another one of those. I don't wonder, were the fixture makers looking at this at the time?
All these teams are playing each other too
much. A bunch
much,
of coincidences, I'm not sure.
Well, let's see how it all plays out. But for now, Liam and Mikey, thanks a million. Just before we go, a reminder, you can get in touch with us at sportpodcast@rte.ie on email, and you can like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts as well. Enjoy the weekend's action, and we'll talk to you again for our review podcast, which will be out on Monday.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow?